Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Judica Sunday, the church has us face the saddest reality of the fallen world. He came to his own. His own received him not. People love darkness rather than light, reject forgiveness for the false promise of pleasure. Jesus died for everyone, but not everyone believes, benefits. I mean, talk of love is cheap. Real love means sacrifice, not pleasure. In response to Jesus' love, they reject him, as most people still today. There is a cost to Christianity. It's not a call to an easy life, power, or prestige. It's a call to sacrifice. A servant is not greater than his master. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. They hate, persecute me. They will also hate, persecute you. For you bear his name. Confess his truth. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Our Lord gathers you here today to confess these words for the fifth Sunday in Lent. Send out your light, right? The light of the world. Right? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you, my God. The words of the psalmist ring true. On the holy hill outside Jerusalem, where the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, laid down his life on the altar of a cross. 118 years ago, this coming Monday, men, women established this congregation, determined to have this blessed gospel proclaimed in this area, that this psalm would ring out right here still today. The light, your truth, let them lead me, bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you. This holy hill, this dwelling of the Word made flesh, and the sacrament, this altar of God, our exceeding joy, to cry out in praise what you partake, to receive my Lord and my God. In the gospel, Jesus hid himself. For he desires to be known, as he says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Liturgically, ceremonially, we recognize these things. And we honor him with a much greater honor that we have, the honor due that we have to our flag and to the honor guards of our military. We honor our Lord, his work, with the highest honor, a greater honor than the glory of man. In keeping with the ancient church, historical Lutheranism, we veil crucifixes as he hid himself, that we would see our Lord anew on his resurrection morn. This is also why we raise the book of the Holy Gospel in honor. As he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. It's why the church, Lutherans, historically, at his holy hill, the altar of God, we elevate the body and blood given for you, shed for you, elevating them in confessing the physical dwelling, the glory of the Lord, in keeping with the Holy Scriptures. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men into myself. And behold, his dwelling here, he has drawn you here to join himself to you. even you, the likes of you, full of sin, do not deserve the glories of God or heaven or anything good. And just as then and now, the great I Am chose you. Not because you stink less than others, nor your good works, nor your faithfulness, but out of pity for you. The Lord has made you Christian, made you his dear baptized child. He chose you to work his gifts upon you, endear you, and thus that his name would be glorified among the nations. The glory of men is in numbers, strength of horses, legs of man. Now, in our military, technology, economic might. But the glory of God is upon those who call upon him that he would provide. The glory of those who put their trust in him as he delivers you from darkness, from evil men, even your own flesh that opposes him, delivered even from death. He says he will not see death. That he would restore to you the joy that he has with the Father from the foundation of the world. The glory of the Lord then is hidden in his body called the church. Even this congregation, St. Paul would say of us, through the church, the manifested glory and wisdom of God shall be made known. Through the church, the glory of the Lord is known and given here. But the world looks at you, dear church, and mocks and hates you for not loving what the world loves. They make fun of you for your dumb, antiquated services, hymns and chanting, led by men in irrelevant clothing. You kneel and bow and stand as if you entered a great space, but it's worth so much less than the arenas built of man. You follow such foolishness as pouring water over babies, eating bread, drinking wine, even giving wine to children. And what has all of this mattered? Why is it you keep gathering? The world has better gatherings, more pleasures, less inconvenience, less suffering. That there's no need for you to be burdened or sacrificed or restrain your desires in life. The world can entertain you better. And then you don't listen when they tell you to stop gathering for the sake of man's health. The world can do everything better for you, Christian. Why do you keep gathering here? Why do you keep going back to these old antiquated superstitious ways, and you pay a couple of weak men to work one day a week and to sit and study, who don't produce anything or provide you anything you can't get on Google? Why, church, do you continue to gather? It is because God gathers you to himself to dwell with you on this holy hill, to make his glories known through you, the body of Christ among the nations. He gifts the wealth of his kingdom that each of you have more treasures than all the earth. Greater are you than the Congress or local councils that decide the laws of this land. Greater are you than the president and judges and generals that control men. For do you not know, St. Paul writes, that the saints of God will judge the world. And this is your greatness. Our judgment looks like this, as St. Paul writes. Therefore, beloved, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your self-control wisdom. And to your wisdom, brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection in charity. For if you are increasing in these things, you will endure and cannot fall. Your calling, election, sure. Clinging to him who is the love of God, made manifest on the cross, that nailed his son to a tree, nailing your sins with him in our flesh, born of Mary, so that you have nothing to fear. What can man do to you? There's no one to condemn you. You will never see death. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. You are the holy bride of Christ, the church. To you has been given all the promises of God that find their yes in Christ Jesus. You'll never see death. For behold, life, life in Christ, life from the font, life from this altar, life before one another, as his love in you covers the multitude of sins to you and otherwise pathetic and godless people you would be. Beloved, love one another. For by this all men will know that you are his disciples. And from dead works, the Spirit working in you, your good works hold back the forces of darkness and evil, and you live out the glory of God to the nations. You are the reason the sun still rises and earth spins, the living work of God of you, by which the name of God is praised. This congregation, 118 years, as with the church throughout the ages, should have failed many times over in history. Yet, you are here at this holy hill, before an altar of God. Bask in this joy, his dwelling in you, for you. There is nothing that the God of Abraham will not do for you, for your good. There's nothing the God of Abraham will not do for the good of your family. He establishes his new covenant in his blood here and now. The sprinkling of blood for your life, the purification of your flesh. Draw life from his chalice, his life. And you have his word, his promise. You will not see death. Not ever. And you will see him and see Abraham and see your mother and father in the faith, to see all of our mothers and fathers in the faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.